truly a very special privilege to be here. To be in this high school, I'm sure you girls all know, but the reputation of this school is one of excellence. You've been told that before, haven't you? Excellence in academics, both in Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol. Truth is, I haven't had the opportunity to witness that. But in the short connection to this school, just in planning today, what I did see, I believe, goes above and beyond any academics. There's a concept we all try to live by, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Our interpersonal relationships, our midos, are first and foremost. And I'm saying this sincerely. Every individual that I spoke to in preparation for this afternoon, whether a student of the school, an administrator, a secretary, one was sweeter than the next. And to me, that's something very, very special and a breath of fresh air. And Bezat Hashem, each and every one of you should continue to be a light on our nation and to show the world what a true Bas Torah is supposed to be. I want to just continue those beautiful words. Such beautiful words to understand what it is to be Ma'avdol Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Every single year, for about the past 10 years, I've had an amazing schus to be the holiest day of the year in the holiest place in the world. I've been zocheh to spend Yom Kippur for many, many years in Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh, literally steps from the Kaisel Ma'aravi, spending all Yom Kippur night at the Kaisel. Words can express how special it is. Some years I get in literally Erev Yom Kippur and leave Matze Yom Kippur. And it's well worth every moment. I started a minog many years ago, the first year. I'm there, unfortunately not with my family, I'm there alone, which gives me the ability to have a little more time to myself. So right before Yom Kippur, when often is a very busy time, we're getting those last minute preparations in, the last few drinks. So I started a minog that I go down to the Kaisel. I daven in a yeshiva very near to the Kotel, but I go down to the Kaisel and there's very few people there. You can imagine about an hour before Yom Kippur, most people are home eating, drinking, showering. It's pretty empty. I go down and I sit there. I put on my talis, as we wear a talis Yom Kippur night for Kol Nidre. Put on my talis at the Kaisel. And I put on my kittel at the Kaisel. And I say the tefillah zaka, it's a very special tefillah of tshuva in preparation for Yom Kippur there at the Kaisel Ma'aravi. Outside in the plaza, right in the corner. Very special tefillahs. The first year I did this, I sat down with my machzer, and I'm saying the tefillahs, and my kittel and my talis already on. And suddenly I just feel something hit me on my arm. Not a person, something, I didn't know what it was. Something hit me on the arm. And I look up, and I see right above me, on a little ledge by the Kaisel, a gorgeous, beautiful white dove. And that dove is looking right down at me. And immediately I understood what probably hit me. I wasn't so excited to look back at my kittel, at my talis. I braced myself and I looked. And I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything on my sleeve where I felt that it hit me. I didn't see it. But then on the floor, I saw some droppings. It was clear what happened. And I moved on to my tefillos. And I went back into my machzer. And these were the very next words I davened. Listen to these words in Tefillah Zaka. V'chalafnu oso b'tzelem tameh, v'lovashnu b'godim tzoim. We have exchanged the holy image of Hashem for a contaminated image of soiled garments. The Lashon of Tzoa is exactly that entity that just hit me. Ve'eich Navo b'shar ha-melech, how are we going to walk into the gate of the king, Yom Kippurim, b'levush sak meluchluch b'tzoa, in sackcloth that soiled with soa. Those were the very next words I read in my machzer. And I was shocked. What message was the Ribbono Shel Olam sending me? I'm reading words of taking my levush, which obviously is a parable, is a symbolism of our guf, our body. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to hit me with that same tzoa as I read those psukim, my first thought was one of sadness. I literally started to cry. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam sending me a message? Is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling me that's what my year was? That's how my beged was? Bitsoa. But then Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam brought a different machshava into my head. Because as I looked, as I said, when I looked at my kittel and my talis, there was no remnant of that which hit me. It literally hit right off me, which is very weird, very strange. And I thought to myself, and this was the chizik, I went into Yom Kippur, I was hoping it was a different message the Ribbono Shel Olam was sending me. And my hope was the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling me that as much as all year long, there are times when I was around situations, as all of us are, of tumah, of chol, of that which can leave a stain. Maybe I'm going into Yom Kippur without it. And maybe it was a chizik to give me a sense of hope for a year of simcha and bracha. As was just said moments ago, every single Matzei Shabbos we make Havdalah. Every Matzei Shabbos we make Havdalah, and there's something very interesting if you think about it. As we enter into Shabbos, and as we exit Shabbos, we do both with a kois shel yayin, with a cup of wine. We make Kiddush on Friday night as we enter into Shabbos Kodesh, and we leave Shabbos Kodesh making Havdalah and a cup of wine. And now a kois shel yayin in our religion is something very special. A kos shel yayin represents simcha, represents happiness, represents joy. When do we have a kos shel yayin, if you think about it? By a bris milah. We have a kos shel yayin, we make brachas over, we give a baby his name with a kos shel yayin. By a pidyon haben, if you've been by one. We have a kos shel yayin, by that simcha, redeeming your son, your firstborn son. A few hours from now, I'm going to be zoich to be by a chasen of a Talmud, and under the chuppah, what do we hold? A kois shel yayin, a cup of wine. Leil Pesach, we have dalad kosos. A kois shel yayin represents simcha, represents oneg, represents joy. So it makes a lot of sense as we're going to enter into Shabbos Kodesh, as we enter into Yontziv, kois shel yayin. I'll have a cup of wine. Isn't it a little bit strange that when I leave Shabbos, I have a kos shel yayin? I'm walking away from Shabbos Kodesh. We all look forward to Shabbos every single week. Let's be real, right? We all look forward. Hopefully it's for the kedusha of Shabbos. If it's just for the rest of Shabbos, it's very exciting. And Shabbos is exiting. We have besamim when we leave Shabbos because the neshama yisera is leaving us. The spirituality of Shabbos is leaving us. And I'm going to make Havdalah on a kos shel yayin? I should make Havdalah with some ashes. I'm going to make Havdalah with a cup of wine? Why is that? So the Pri Tzadik, Rav Tzadik HaKoyein, he explains as follows. He explains that we make Havdalah, as was mentioned moments ago, the Yerushalmi and Brachos that explains that when we make Havdalah in our Shmoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv, when Shabbos is ending, that Havdalah of Atochan Antanu is placed in the Bracha of Atochonein Ladam Das. We make Havdalah specifically in the Bracha of Das, of knowledge. Because without Das, without knowledge, we can't be Mavdil. We don't know how to differentiate and distinguish that which is Kodesh, that which is Chol, that which is holy, and that which is mundane, and that which is perhaps a negative influence for us. So comes Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, and that's the pinnacle of the week of being Mavdil, of separating, being Kodesh L'Chol, the holiness of Shabbos going into the mundane days of the week. And just the idea that I have das, I have the ability to know what is holy and what is not, is a great simcha, is a great joy. So we make that havdalah on a cup of wine, not because, chas v'sholom, we want to leave Shabbos, but because I'm besimcha that I know the difference between a Shabbos and between a weekday. And we have to ask ourselves, do we know this difference? Are we aware? Do we have the das between that which is Kodesh and that which is Chol? Too often in our lives, we try to live in both worlds. Yes, I'm going to daven. I'm going to learn. I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'm going to make my brachos. But I'm enjoying the world of entertainment. I enjoy secular society, that which it portrays, and the shows that I watch, and the music that I listen to. I can have it all. I can have it all. But how does it affect the way I dress? How does it affect the way I think? How does it affect my values? The Nefesh HaChaim and Rav Chaim Volozhin says a terrible thing happened by the chait of Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas, that same word, let's remember, right? Atachonei Lodam Das, to have that das, to have that knowledge. And we'll explain in a moment what that is exactly. The Nefesh HaChaim said by the chait of Eitz Hadas, which we're still struggling from until today, when Adam HaRishon and Chava sinned by the Eitz Hadas, from that point on, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains it was an irvuvia. Irvuvia means a mixture. Not like it was just explained so beautifully when you have the oil separating and knowing that which is different from each other, that to be able to distinguish between Kodesh and Chol, there was an irvuvia. There's a mixture of Kodesh and Chol. And it's harder to distinguish. And we get confused and think that the whole world, everything's okay. I can live and have it all. And they think it's okay for me to watch certain things and to listen to certain things. And there's an ervuvio, there's that mixture. And I'm living in Kodesh and Chol, I'm living in both worlds. I don't have the das, I lost the Eitz Hadas, I lost the knowledge. I lost the ability to distinguish that which is really best for me. That which is Kodesh, that which is Chol. And ultimately, where does it lead me? It really leads me to sadness. It really leads me to a place where I'm unhappy. You see, because the Maral explains so beautifully, so eloquently. If you read in the Maral explains that happiness, simchas achayim, is very deeply dependent on being someone who's shalem. Shlemus. What does shlemus mean? What does the word shalem mean? Shalem means to be complete. To be complete. You see, we're sad when we're lacking in some way. Lo aleinu, chas v'sholom. Someone passes away, it's the highest level of sadness. Because we feel missing something. We're no longer complete. Maybe even on a much lower scale, you take a test, and you get back the test, you didn't do as well as you would have liked. For some of you, that means you got a 98. Let's be real, right? But for some of you, whatever the numeric might be, wherever you hold yourself to be, you didn't do so well, and you're sad. Why are you sad? Because you feel lacking. You don't feel complete. You don't feel it's the whole story. I'm lacking, I'm missing. When I try to live in both worlds, when I try to live a life of Kedusha and a life of Chol in one, and that life of Ervuvia, I'm never shalom. I'm never complete. I'm always being pulled in different directions. I don't feel through and through an honest, complete person. To be somebody who has das to be mavdil, therefore, is the greatest of simcha. If I truly live my life in a way that I'm only choosing to be involved with that which is best for me, if I only choose to live a life, not just when I happen to be in the beautiful surroundings of Manhattan High School, but when I go home and I'm in my own room. And I have, like some of us do, a phone that allows me to see anything I'd like to in the world. And I have the ability to choose at that moment. How am I going to live my life now? I davened this morning. I only ate kosher. I'm going to keep Shabbos. But what about the rest of my life? What am I doing with my free time? What am I choosing? Am I being mavdil ben kodesh l'chol in those moments? And those are the moments that are not going to just define my Yiddishkeit, but are actually going to define my simchas achayim, my happiness, whether I feel true to myself, whether I feel complete in who I am, not being pulled in all different directions. And let me explain why specifically das, because there are different words in Hebrew for knowledge. The three that are most important, the three words which are the foundation, in a certain sense, of Avodas Hashem, made famous by Chabad Chasidus, with that acronym Chabad. Chabad stands for Chachma Bina Das. You all know. As women, Bina, you should definitely know, right? You have Bina Yisera. Chachma Bina Das. Chachma Bina Das. All those words can be translated as wisdom, as knowledge. But obviously, if in Lashon HaKodesh there are three different words, they must mean different things. It's not one and the same. We don't have three different Hebrew words just to tell us the same exact English translation. What is Chachma? What is Bina? What is Das? Chachma is the initial intake of information. Is learning something. Chachma is that seminal point of knowledge. Very superficial, very much on the surface. You know those times when you didn't really pay such great attention in class, and you didn't think about whatever you were learning, and it was the night before a test, and you crammed in an hour just to be able to spit back information on tests, right? We've all been there. That's just Chachma. That's it. That's all you got to. Because you might even, if you have a good memory, you might do well, and you might end up with the mark you're looking for, but I guarantee you 2 days later, you have no idea what you learned. That information's in one ear and out the next. Chachma, that's all it was. Very simple, superficial intake of information. Bina is a much deeper sense of understanding. Is taking that initial chachma and analyzing it, and thinking about it, and connecting to it a little bit emotionally. Pondering what you're learning about, questioning, answering. That's Bina. It's a much deeper thought process. It's a much deeper connection. Das. Das is taking what you learned, and what you've analyzed, and what you've pondered, and now bringing it into actualization. Living your life according to that information. Living your life according to that new knowledge that you've taken in. We sit in classes all the time. Limudei Kodesh classes. Very deep, beautiful, whether it's Machshava or whether it's Chumash. And learning about who we should be as a Bas Torah. Who our role models should be as Benois Torah. And we take in and we listen to that. And sometimes we think deeply about it. But how often do we actualize it? Hopefully often. That's what defines who we really are. Do we live our lives according to the morals and the ethics and the intake of Chachma and Bina that we have? That's Das. So that's specifically why Matei Shabbos, Atochonein Ladam Das. We make Havdalah on a kosher yayin. We make Havdalah on a kosher yayin, on a cup of wine, because the greatest simchas have the Das to be Mavdal. Not just the Chachma to be not Mavdal. Not just, yeah, I know, I learned the proper halacha, and I know the way I'm supposed to get dressed in the morning, and I know the way I'm supposed to wash my hands in the morning, and I know the brachos I'm supposed to make. That's just chachma, that's knowledge. Bina, I've thought about it even. It makes sense to me. It's deep, it's good, it's great, it's awesome. But the ultimate simcha is not just knowing it, but living by it. To live a life of kedusha. To live a life according to Torah mitzvahs, the way I know I'm supposed to. to be ma'avdol ben kodesh l'chol. That's the greatest simcha. And to be able to do it in all areas of my life. Ben or l'choshach, the or is the Torah, the choshach is the secular world, the yavan as we're preparing for Chanukah, knowing when to stay away from the immoralities that society pushes upon us. Ben Yisrael Amim, knowing which people to spend my time with. Knowing who are the more kadosh friends for myself. Who am I going to be influenced in a proper way? Who should I spend my summers with? Who should I spend my free time with? Who are good influences on me? And Ben Yom Ashvili Sheshe Shemei Amasa, understanding Gedusha Sazman. Yes, we look forward to Shabbos Kodesh, but are we Makadish ourselves on Shabbos? What do we do with our Shabbos? Do we grab hold? We're coming upon Chanukah. Chanukah could be also a day where I light a candle for 5 minutes and it's just a regular day. Am I Mekadesh it? Am I connecting to Hashem in the Machshavos of the Yontif? Shabbos Kodesh. What do I spend my nights, my afternoon doing? Of course, a time to spend beautiful time with the Mishpacha. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. But I'm not doing that. What am I reading? What am I involved with? Have the das, to live a life of Havdalah. That's the greatest simcha. Of course I'm going to have a kodesh shel yayin. But the question is as follows. Where does this leave a place for everything else in my life? What about some time to relax? What about some time just to chill with my friends? Like, I'm not looking to open up a chumash on a Matzei Shabbos Kodesh if I don't want to test the next day or 2 days later. I'm really not. I just want to hang out with my friends and have a good time. Maybe play a little sports. Maybe do yoga, whatever you guys, right? Yoga. Zumba, I'll leave for your teachers if that. I don't know where we go with that. Depends with who, what. I may even yavin. Okay, but where does all that go? I'm going to the gym. Where does that all fall? Is that out of the question? So, but my whole life should be learning and chesed and tefillah. If I have a free moment, I could always be davening saying tehillim. There's always people to daven for. Maybe every moment I don't have. Tzvi Sharma already says, every one of us, listen, we have a goof, we have a body, we need time to relax, we need time to chill, we need time to be with our friends. But how does that fall into our idea of being ma'avdol ben kodesh l'chol? So I want to share with all of you one of my favorite Torahs in the world. And it just happens to be on this week's parasha, because that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world and orchestrates that we should be here together, preparing for Parshas Vayetze, discussing this topic. Yaakov Avinu, the end of last week's parasha, the beginning of this week's parasha, is running away for his life. We all know the storyline. His brother Esav wants to kill him. He took the brachos, rightfully so, but not in Esav's eyes. So he's running away. And he's also running to go get married. 63 years old already. It's kind of time. Then he stops 14 years to learn before that. So he's 77. So he's running to get married. His mother told him, run away from your brother Esav if he wants to kill you. His father Yitzchak says, go get married. It's time. So he's running to Haran to get married. He's running away from Esav. And he gets all the way to Haran. He gets all the way there, outside our troll. He gets right there to Haran. And he realizes something. I forgot to do something. He forgot to daven on Har HaBayis. You see, his father, Yitzchak Avinu, his grandfather, Zayd Yaakov Avinu, they both davened on Har HaBayis for their future success, for their children, for us. Sitting here today on Dalet Kislev, in Tavshinai and Ches, Avram and Yitzchak Avinu davened on Har HaBayis for us. And Yaakov said, I didn't daven, I forgot. So he wants to go back to Har HaBayis, but he's all the way by Haran. It's a far journey. So the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, says he had kfitzas haderech. He went by, he journeyed, but it was a kfitzas haderech. Now, generally, kfitzas haderech, we have times throughout Tanakh where we find kfitzas haderech, where tzaddikim are able to take journeying to do something positive, and it should take a very long time, it takes a very short time. We know that in last week's parsha, already Eliezer, when he went to find a wife for Yitzchak, going back to Chayesara, he has kfitzas haderech, he gets there very, very quickly. So a week's journey will take a day. That's what normal kfitzas haderech is. In all other cases in Tanakh. After leaving here, I have to go back to the five towns. Normally, this time of the day, probably take an hour. If I got there in 10 minutes, that would be crazy kfitzas haderech. My wife would definitely question me. Better not take 3 hours, what'd you say? I have to get back to give a class and then get back to a chasana, so we... Siyata d'shmaya. Kvisas haderech. But here the Gemara Chulin says, the kvisas haderech of Yaakov Avinu is different than every other kvisas haderech in the entire Torah. It's not that Yaakov Avinu got to Haran very quickly. He stood still. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up Harabayas and literally brought it to him. He brought Harabayas to Haran. Why was that? Kadosh Baruch Hu, even when he does miracles, does it b'derech ateva somewhat, generally, in a natural way. So every other kvitzas haderech, you're journeying and somehow you ended up there very, very quickly. Bring Harabayas to Yaakov, why was this necessary? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something he never did anywhere else in all of Torah? In all of history of the world? Lift it up and bring it to him. Listen to the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Drash Moshe. He explains as follows. He explains that Yaakov Avinu, his whole life, was Kodesh Kedoshim. His whole life, he's living in a home of Yitzchak Avinu until the age of 15, he has a grandfather, Avram Avinu. He's learning Kol HaTorah Kula day and night. He's learning Yeshiva Shem Be'ever, wherever. Kulo Kedusha. Incredible. And now, for the first time in his life, he's surrounded by Toma, by Chol, by Lavan. He's in a society full of immorality. The Medrash says he felt kemin kosel lefanav. He literally felt like there was a wall in front of him. He couldn't go further. How is he going to live in that society? How is he going to be successful? What's he going to do? And he was down and out. Comes the Eibishter, and Eibishter does something very special. The Eibishter takes Harabayas. He takes the holiest place in the world. And he lifts it up to bring it to Haran, to teach Yaakov a lesson. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you could make it Harabayas. You could make it Kadosh. You could make it holy. It's up to us. We don't have to be in Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh and seminary to become the biggest Bas Torah in the world. It could be right now. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who came to America when Ruchnius, spirituality, was desolate here. It was referred to as a midbar, as a desert. He writes, and I'll read you a few of his words at the end of this piece. And he was really, I believe, talking to himself. It's a great teaching. No one should have despair. Lomar shebedor hazeh v'makom hazeh. Kosho lahasig shlemus. In our generation, in our place, it's hard to reach a level of shlemus, that same word we spoke about before. Completion, to be complete, and therefore to be simcha. And say, Yishchas Hashem, say, Ma'at Torah, Ma'am, a little bit Torah, I daven, I learn, I do a little bit. Let me have my fun on the side. Elagam biyosapo, also here. Alav lahasdik, kol ha-shlemus. You can reach the highest level of completion. Lios baki b'torah b'masim tovim. To reach the highest of levels, Harabayas could be here. It's up to us. It's an amazing teaching. But I think for us, it teaches us something else as well. It doesn't just mean in a place. It doesn't just mean that here in 5778, Tavshinayin Ches, in New York City, in a world of technology where there's taiva, there's temptation left and right, that I could still be a Bas Torah on a level like a Rachel Imenu. And we can. And we have to believe it. And we can be Shlemus, be Mavdil. And every one of us. And you have to believe it within yourself, but it also tells me something else. It means whatever situation I'm in, and I'm even at a time when I'm B'makom Chol, I'm in an activity which inherently might not be part of Kedusha. I'm hanging out with my friends on a Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, on a Sunday afternoon, on a Shabbos afternoon, go out to pizza, going to, like we said, to yoga, wherever it might be. It's up to me to make that Makom Kodesh as well. To be Ma'adab and Kodesh Chol doesn't mean to practice abstinence from anything that's physical. It also means to know how to be Mekadesh, that which is Chol. It means to know how to elevate that which is mundane. And make that Harabayas. And that means maybe the way I'm dressing in that situation, which might not be like all the other girls are, but I know I'm a Bas Torah, I'll be involved in it, but I'm going to dress in a very special way. Like a Tzenua should. And it might mean that I'm going out with my friends on a Matzei Shabbos, and I'm in some pizza store on Central Avenue or on Queens or Main Street or wherever we live or wherever it might be. And I'm surrounded by all different types of Jews. And I'm going to go and I'm going to have a nice time with my friends. But I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make a slow, beautiful bracha with Kavana. And not just a bracha Rishona, and a bracha Achrona. And I have the midos that a Bas Torah should portray, as we spoke about earlier. And therefore I'm elevating that situation. There might be a time of chol, quote unquote, I'm turning it into Kedusha. And that's our avoda as well. There's a very famous letter by Rav Hutner, Rav Yitzchak Hutner, the Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Hutner was the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin. If you see a picture, I'll tell you about Rav Hutner, they're little known. You see a picture of Rav Hutner, you'll see the sight of a tzaddik with a big beard, and a long bakisha, and a spadok. I'm sure some of you have seen. He was a very special tzaddik, a very special person. But before he was Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, he was a manal of a high school, of an elementary school, I'm sorry, of RJJ, on the Lower East Side. My Zaidi, my grandfather, went to RJJ. And he told me about Rav Hutner as the Menahel. And he told me how Rav Hutner would come in with beautiful three-piece suits. And Rav Hutner in his office had a ping-pong table. And when he would get in trouble with his rabbi or his teacher and be sent to Rav Hutner, Rav Hutner would talk to him as they played ping-pong together. You might not read that anywhere. But it's the truth, because Rav Hutner understood not just what is Kedusha, but to be Mekadesh, that which is Chol. And it's okay to look beautiful and look handsome and have nice clothing. And it's okay to play a little ping pong. And Rav Hutner was once sent a question by a student of his who was struggling with his balance of living a life of Torah as well as a secular life centered around his career. Rav Hutner answered with the following metaphor. He said, if a person has a home, and in addition, he takes a room in a hotel, he is living a double life. But if the person has a home that has two rooms, he's not living a double life. He's living a broad life. By placing it all only under one roof, there's a broad unity, not a split. Everything we do could be b'derech Torah mitzvos. We just have to filter it in the proper way. And that way, once we know and we have the das to be ma'avdil, what is Kodesh and what is Chol, then that which is Chol, we can elevate to Kedusha as well. There's a story in the Gemara, it's brought down in the Akdama of the Orcha Sadiq, and maybe some of you have seen, of an Amora who was with his Talmidim, and he said he's going to do a great mitzvah. So of course, like good Chasidim, they all want to know, what great mitzvah are you going to do? And they're all following him. And he goes out and leaves the Beis Medrash, and he goes to the local bathhouse, and he takes a shower, and he goes right back to the Beis Medrash to learn. And one of his chassidim asked him, Rebbe, I don't understand. We thought we're going to watch you, and you're going to go to some yesoima, some orphan, some amana, some widow to help out. You're going to go do some great act of chesed. You're going to go spread tremendous Torah. He says, what do you mean? I was learning. I didn't feel comfortable learning. I didn't feel like I was learning well because I felt unclean. I went to shower so I could learn better. That's a great mitzvah. When I shower, it could be a great mitzvah if I have the proper machshavos. To be makadish, that which is chol. We're entering into Chanukah. We're already in the month of Kislev. Chanukah is a very interesting holiday. Chanukah is a holiday where the days are days of chol. It's not like a yontiv of Pesach, or Shavuos, or Sukkos, where a yontiv where we vlav tas malachos, and it's kadosh. Chanukah is like any other day. Chanukah, most of our parents go to work like any other time. Yes, we light the Chanukah menorah. And yes, we say hallel. But that, I believe, is the depth of Chanukah. You see, Chanukah, as we all know, was to defeat the Yavanim, the Greeks who were bringing into our lives a Hellenistic lifestyle, trying to bring back that irvav, that mixture, trying to teach us a way of chol, a way of tumah. So what better way to celebrate Chanukah than on Yemei Chol? On regular days, but to show we're going to elevate all those days of B'Kedusha. I'm going to live those days the way a Bas Torah should. That's the greatest way. I don't have to abstain. I have to elevate. I have to be Makadish. And the way, first I have to have the Das. First I have to know that which is Kaddish and that which is Chol. And want to live that life as Das is. And then when I go out to the outside and I see that which is, I know what to stay away from, what not to stay with. What can I be Makadish? What do I have to be Makadish by kicking it away completely? We have to be Makadish ourselves. Maybe that's what it means. Ad shetichla regel min ashuk. The Gemara says, and the halacha is, that we could light Chanukah menorah at the end time, the end zman, ad shetichla regel min ashuk. Which literally means until people were outside in the marketplace. Once people were home. In the times of the Gemara, there were no outside lights. People were home early. Once it got dark, ad shetichla regel min ashuk, when the marketplace closed down. That's the latest, because we want pursuminis, we want people that are out in the streets to see the menorah. But the language, ad shetichla regel min ashuk. The shuk represents the outside world, the secular society. Shetichla means to be finished with, to take out. Regel is only 1 foot. Ad shetichla regel min ashuk. Our avoda is even when I have 1 foot in, to have 1 foot out. When I'm involved in that which is chol, to still have 1 foot b'kedusha, and elevate it all in the proper way. And to have that proper das. And that starts in our own lives, so that when I go outside, I can be mekadesh. So the most beautiful Torah, Rav Avram Shur from Brooklyn, he explains, why is it that today's day and age we light our menorahs inside? Really, Maker Din, the menorah is supposed to be lit outside. There are reasons which are all hard to fully understand in our days. It's cold outside. Lemais, it's not so cold outside. Got novim, so don't put out a nice silver menorah outside. Put a regular cheap menorah outside. Rav Shur says as follows. The idea of the menorah, ki ner mitzvah b'torah ar. The light of the menorah is the light of ruchnius, the light of spirituality. So it used to be we lit the menorah outside because our homes are full only of kedusha, and we needed to bring ruchnius to the outside streets. So in our day and age, with technology, with what can be brought into the home, we need the menorah even inside the home. We need to be mekadesh ourselves first. We need to be ma'avdil ben kodesh l'chol in our own lives. And then we'll be able to go outside and live a life of kedusha in the proper ways. With that proper das. Let me just end with one story. It's my favorite Chanukah story. Some of you might know it. It's famous. But every time I read it, every time I say it, it gives me chizik. So I'm really just talking to myself. During the Holocaust in Bergen-Belsen, there was a very big tzaddik, Rabbi Yisrael Spira, the Blizhava Rebbe. And Chanukah was coming, and he was in his barracks. And he told some of the people in the barracks, let's try to get together a little oil, a little wick, so we could light the menorah. Which was obviously at the risk of being killed. And somehow they got, somebody took a little piece of his shoelace. Some people got a little tar to use as the oil. And they carved out a little potato. And they had some to light one menorah, one light, the first night of Hanukkah. And Rishol Spiro, he was the one on behalf of everybody else, lighting that menorah. And they're all standing, maybe 50, 60 people around him. And he makes the bracha, l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah. And he makes the bracha, shasa nisim l'avaseinu b'yamim ha'im b'zman hazeh. Yearning for more nisim. And then he looks around the room. He looks into the eyes of everybody in that room. And he makes the bracha, shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'hiyanu l'zman hazeh, and he lights the menorah. And right at that moment, the man from the back screams out. This was a man that often used to fight with the Rebbe. And the man said, Rebbe, I don't understand. To light the menorah and risk our lives for a mitzvah, shas hashmad, at a time of persecution, and be connected to Hashem and bring light into this world, I could live with. To make the bercha and the mitzvah and a bracha on the miracle that was and hopefully will be, I could live with. But to say the words, shachiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu azman hazeh, thanking Hashem that we've lived towards this moment, thanking Hashem for this year, a year where our families were murdered, a year where we have nothing left, a year where we became skeletons of human beings. To make such a bracha, shachiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu azman hazeh. So the Rebbe looked at him and he said, I want you to know, I had the same question. And if you noticed, I paused. And I wasn't ready to make that bracha. And then I saw the eyes of every yid in this room. I saw the eyes and the yearning and the love to perform this mitzvah with sacrifice, with Mesiras Nefesh. If a Nazi soldier walks in here, we're all killed on the spot. And the connection to Hashem that's in this room. And I said, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to live to witness this moment in history. Baruch Hashem, each of us in this room, each of us in this room are not at that time in history. And we don't have religious persecution, Baruch Hashem. And physically, we're not at risk with our lives. But we're still in Galus. The Galus is that ervuvia, that mixture of Kodesh and Chol. It really is similar to the Galus of Yavam. The Galus of a secular world pushing thoughts, immorality into our minds, into our hearts. Our sacrifice might not be a physical sacrifice. Our Mesiras Nefesh has to be to be Mavdil in Kodesh Chol. Our Mesiras Nefesh to know and use our Das to know what's best for us and live that life. And that which is Chol be Mekadesh. And to recognize if we do that, each and every one of us will be Zoicha. Not just to live a life of Torah like we're supposed to, but to live a life of Shlemus and have the Simchas Achayim, the happiness that really each and every one of us is yearning for, that's all we're looking for in life. That's how we'll have it. And we Zoicha Simcha and Bracha. We'll all have a beautiful, beautiful month of Kislev. A Lichtige Chanukah. Be Zoicha B'mavda Ben Kodesh L'chol.